Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8 o'clock hour. Time for Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It's always an honor and a privilege we come to be able to come before the people of God as we study the word together, expounding on the word of God one with another in fellowship. Oh, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms of Christ our Savior. It is an honor, and I look at it as an opportunity given by God where we could come together on Wednesday night. The body of Christ, partakers of the household of faith, and it's a beautiful thing. Our lesson tonight is going to come out of the book of Habakkuk, the second chapter. And Habakkuk is a short book in the Bible. And Habakkuk was a prophet of God. And God gave him a message for the people. And the title of our lesson is, Those Who Have Not, Because They Ask Not. Again, I'll say, those who have not, because they ask not. The book of Habakkuk. And we're going to expound on the second chapter. We're going to see tonight what the Lord tells Habakkuk, and what Habakkuk, the Lord. At this time, I'm going to play a song. And once the song is completed, our prayer warrior, Sister Pam, is going to bring us to God's throne of grace where mercy can be found. The title of this song is Sovereign. And I want y'all to listen to the song, because at the end of the book of Habakkuk realized that God is sovereign.
God is God.
judgment.
That song was called Sovereign by Darryl Coley. You know, the sovereignty of God must be understood fully by all believers to understand the will of God and to trust God in all circumstances and situations. God is a sovereign God, meaning he could do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, or who he wants. And at this time, we're going to have our prayer warrior, Sister Pam, lead us to God's throne of grace where mercy can be found. Good evening, everybody. Father God, we thank you tonight for the gift of life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for our Bible study and everybody that's listening in on tonight. Thank you for our teacher, our sister in Christ, our prayer warrior, our servant of God, Minister Diane Adams. Keep affording her the opportunity, O Lord, to bring forth your word every Wednesday night, plain and simple. Lord, let us not be like sheep, Lord, that has gone astray, but guide and direct our paths in the ways that you want us to take. Please help us to make you, Lord Jesus, our top priority. And it's in Jesus' name I pray and thank you and say amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Pam.
You're welcome, Sister.
And if we look at our lesson tonight, Habakkuk comes to God. God answer him. He asks another question. But oh, in the end, I think if Habakkuk could say he realized the sovereignty of God, and you're gonna, that's how you begin to trust him anyway. And anyhow, God is in control. Again, the title of our lesson is Those Who Have Not Because They Ask Not. And we're going to be in the book of Habakkuk. I asked those who could read the entire book because it was only three small chapters. And we're going to expound on the second chapter. So I'm going to do a little background, and then we're going to go into the printed text. The book of Habakkuk begins with Habakkuk crying out to God for an answer to why God's chosen people, talking about the Israelites, are allowed to suffer in their captivity. That's the same question some people here today on earth say, how could the saved, the righteous people, God's children, suffer in this world that we live in? You see, the prophet Habakkuk denounced the sins of Judah, but wrestled with the fact that God's chosen people will suffer at the hands of the enemies that will be more wicked than them. You see, Judah was a part of God's chosen nation, and the Israelites, the Jews, they have Israel and Judah. No matter what God did for them, no matter how much he did for them, they always seem to turn their backs on him and go and dance and fiddle with idol gods. And God warned them through a prophet. You see, Habakkuk's a prophet, and a prophet is a man of God that God gives a message to the prophet to give to the people. You see, the people couldn't go to God for themselves, so the prophets, the priests, the judges, the kings brought messages to the people. Because once sin entered the world, God could not entangle with man with a sin nature. But I thank God for Jesus Christ that removed the veil, and we have an opportunity to go to God for ourselves. So when we look at this lesson, and that was said, Habakkuk talks about how bad Judah, the children of Israel, God's chosen nation, was acting. But he wrestled that even though they did this, why would God use a wicked nation to bring down judgment on them? God spoke in many of the books to the prophets, warning the Israelites to get it right, telling them judgment will come if they don't get it right. And they kept on doing what they wanted to do, it feeling like they was big and bad enough to do anything they wanted. God told them, I'm going to raise up a heathen nation that's going to come in, and they're going to take you in captivity. and they're going to have their way with you. Yet they kept doing what they wanted to do, and then the judgment fell. Habakkuk was saddened by the rampant injustice and violence occurring around him, and he was puzzled why God tolerates it. You see, in chapter 1, his questioning of God, the prophet asks, why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There's strife and conflict all around. See, all of this was in the first chapter. That's why I said if you had a chance, you could have read the entire book. He goes on to say, Habakkuk was not afraid to ask God questions, which showed that the prophet had a strong relationship with him. You know, many times we were taught in the past that you can't question God. Here we see Habakkuk asking God a question. And many other times in the Word of God, we see questions are asked. So you can ask God a question. Habakkuk's question of why God allowed suffering and let evilness go unpunished are answered. You know, that's how we feel sometimes with the injustice that we are living in this world. Many of our leaders are just outright evil. And you wonder why God don't stop it. But if you know anything about God, no evil goes unpunished. But in the lesson tonight, we're going to see that God has an allotted time and allotted season for what he's going to do. But let me let you know, evil does not get away. Evil never get a pass. And God will make these crooked roads straight and close the doors that need to be closed in his appointed time. You see, the Lord answered. The Lord told Habakkuk that he was going to punish the people of Judah for their evil ways. But he was going to do it by using the evil ways of the Babylonian Empire. For those who know that the Israelites were captured by the Babylonians and they stayed in captivity for 70 years. Now, many times you got to realize with God being sovereign as well, nothing happens unless God allows it or orchestrates it. I want you to know tonight that the punishment and the fact that Babylonia was able to place the Israelites into captivity is because God allowed it. You see, they came upon the Israelites, but they had no strength to conquer them, so they were conquered. You see, when God was with them, every battle they went in, they came out victorious. But God has taken his hand off of them because this was something he was doing. Because of their actions. And these are their consequences. He told him he would bring judgment on the people. God's choice to use the Babylonians puzzled Habakkuk even more. And he began to question God. See, the Babylonians was bad news too, but they wasn't his people. Come on now. But the children of Judah was his. How could God use such a violent, idolatrous group of people to carry out a righteous judgment? I want to tell you right here, God can use anything he created. And he does use everything he created. He created the Babylonians. And this was a task he wanted them to do, and he used them. How could God do this? Habakkuk question. But when you realize the sovereignty, God's wisdom, and continue to look at him through faith, you will begin to understand. The Lord gives his answer to Habakkuk, essentially stating, you wouldn't believe it if I told you. See, some things we couldn't even comprehend if God told us. That's why God is revealing his will and in his way to us, you know, in appointed times and seasons. God told him, if I told you, man, you couldn't even comprehend it. You see, Habakkuk then followed up by saying, okay, you are God, but still tell me more about what is happening. The wicked were getting away with their iniquities and violence. There didn't seem to be any justice. Righteous people were suffering. How could God allow this? Why didn't God do something about it? And you could ask yourself today, have you ever asked these questions? When is all of this is going to end? When will Putin have to take a seat because of his evilness? And even the war in Gaza. Come on, y'all. You know, all of those people that was in the Gaza Strip wasn't bad people, but yet they're suffering. They took away their quality of life, water, the basic things, electricity. And many of them was killed. Not all of them was wicked people. But the good suffer along with the bad, not for the bad, but along with the bad. He wanted to know even why God didn't do something about it. You know, plenty of times somebody lose one of their loved ones and they get angry with God. Why did you take my mother? Now, grant you, some of the people that I've heard say that their mama was 92 years old. They couldn't see the blessing in their selfishness. We all would like our loved ones to stay with us. But everybody is destined to die. And that person, if they was 92 years old, God had given them all of those years. And yet it wasn't enough. Come on, y'all. Why do the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer? Habakkuk wanted to know how long. When we read and study the book of Habakkuk, we'll get some answers even to our questions. Even if we never stated them, but it was in our mind. And you got to remember, those who have not because they ask not. And we're going to go into the scripture. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Habakkuk 2nd chapter. And you could follow along with the printed scripture. And verse 1 states, I will stand upon my watch. This is Habakkuk talking, y'all. And set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I'm reproached. 2, the Lord answered me and said, in the first chapter, Habakkuk asked all of those questions. God is turning around in the second chapter to answer him. But God made him a watch, placed him on the wall as a watchman so he could really look down and see everything that was happening. See, he said, he set me up on the tower. The Lord answered him and said, he said, okay, Habakkuk, I got your questions. So he told Habakkuk, write the vision and make it plain upon tablets, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. And he goes on to tell him, he say, you see what's happening. And it appears that the evil is getting away. He said, but I'm got this, but it's going to be in my time, for my reasoning, in my season. So he told Abeka all that, and he told him to be patient in a sense. He said, for the vision, he's talking about what he was writing, the vision is going to come in an appointed time, and it's not going to lie. You have to wait on it. And the upright's going to, those that are not upright going to get their just due. But he come in this scripture and says, but the just shall live by faith. He said, yeah, you see all of this going on, Rebecca. He's saying, you've seen this with your eyes. And you know the difference between faith and non-faith. A state is the substance of things hoped for and what you can't see. And then Abeka seen all of this, but God turned him around to say, the just shall live by his faith. And verse 5, ye also, because he transgressed by wine, he is a proud man, neither keep it at home, who enlarge his desires as hell and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations and reap unto him all people. God is giving a description of those that, well, really he's talking about the Babylonians, and he know what they did, and we're going to see here, you know, God used them, but God didn't intend for them to do the people as bad as they did. Because, you see, God is going to bring judgment on the Babylonians as well because of their treacherous, harsh treatment. You see, in the first chapter, Rebecca questioned God. God answered. Rebecca asked another question when the chapter ends. Now we see Rebecca writing for an answer. Rebecca was fitted as a watchman. He had separated himself from the evil. He had placed himself in a tower that was built on the wall, high above all things, so he could really see what was going to happen as he waited for God's answer. You know, watchtower was often used by the prophets to show an attitude of expectation, waiting and watching for God. The Lord answered him. He told him, write it down and wait for the answer. You see, the writing down of the vision was necessary. Yes, it was. It was necessary because its fulfillment may be delayed. When it is fulfilled, the tablets will serve as a witness and give evidence to the truthfulness of God and of his prophets. You know, many times we go in life and people say, get a plan and write it down. You may also have been told to write down things that you want from God. And many times we may have hid it in our heart, and those things too did come to pass. And we remembered, hallelujah, when we thought of it in our heart. God heard even that, and it did come to pass in this allotted time. God didn't tell him, look, don't worry, I got this. The upright believe in themselves, but the just shall live by faith. The phrase, the just shall live by faith, is a biblical principle that teaches believers to trust God. Teach believers to trust God. Come on, y'all. No matter what the circumstances are. That's what it means, the just shall live by faith. It may not look good right now, but because of your faith, you believe that God's going to work all things out together for the good. And that's how you can continue to live in faith and trust in God. It means that the just or the righteous are those who live by faith and not by sight. And this is important. And don't draw back from the will of God. You know, everything we go to God and ask him for, just as Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. He asked God to remove the cup, but not his will, but God's will. And you see, sometimes we want it this way, and it's God's way to do it that way. Still all good, because God is in control. We have to remember that. Our faith in God is what separates us from the world. The world has no hope. We have hope because of the resurrection. Those who have confidence in themselves are not dependent on their faith in God, but themselves. That's a horrible place to be, I would imagine. And if we look at verses 6, they're going to give us 5 woes. And God answering Habakkuk, he tell him 5 woes. And, you know, when you say woe, that means pay attention because judgment is near. But in this chapter, there's 5 woes. And the first woe is in the 6th chapter through the 8th. 6, 7, and 8 is the first woe. And what he said, shall not all these take up a parable against him and a taunting proverb against him and say, woe to him that increase that which is not his. He said, it's going to be, everybody's going to point a finger at him and laugh at him and make a parable against him, how they did what they did, but they got what they got, things like that in a proverb. And he said, woe to them that increase that which is not his. How long? And to him that lathered himself with thick clay. He's talking about those who shower themselves with worldly possessions, earthly things, clay, the earth, earthly things. He said, woe unto them. Verse 7, shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee and awake that which vex thee, and thou shall be for booty unto them. Booty is like taking when the enemy always came in, and they do it today, and they did it then, and they did it in World War One. They did it all over when they would come in and they would subdue the people. They would take everything of value from them. He said, you'll be a booty unto them. Verse 8, because thou hast spoiled many nations, talking to the Babylonians, all the remnants of the people. 7, shall thy not rise up suddenly? I read that one already. All right, I'm going to go ahead again with 7. Shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee, and thou shalt spurl thee because of man's blood and for violence in the land of the city and all that dwell therein? God is telling him, don't worry, Habakkuk. Woe unto them. That's what God was telling him. and it's the beginning of the woes. And you see, this is speaking of a man who is lacking moral compass, moral character. And even though God is speaking to the Babylonians, which is a nation, if these characteristics be an individual, the same woe applies to them. We got to be careful because God's judgment is real. He say it in that, them chapters, them verses. He drinks heavily. He runs around. He is living for the desires of his flesh, and his flesh will die. What sense do that make? Like there's a scripture up in the Bible in Mark 8:36 says, for what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? See, they're not thinking about God. They're not thinking about the eternal life or anything. They're living for today. They can't see nothing beyond today, and they want all that they want. And they don't care how they get it. The sad thing that this type of person going to wind up in hell for all eternity. And we know this is talking to the Babylonians. But their characteristics, and if an individual have those characteristics, the same woes could apply to them. And if we look at the second woe starting in verse 9, 10, and 11, woe to him that covereth an evil countenance to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people and have sinned against thy soul. For the stone shall cry out of the wall and the beam out of the timber shall answer this. You see, they was treating them bad, y'all. You see, their cruelty towards the captivity, those in captivity, will come right back to them. Come on now. When they are under the judgment of God, you know, the Bible says when you dig one ditch, you better dig two, because one you dig may be for you. And he said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. To you. And then we got the sowing and reaping. If you sow evil, you're going to get evil. And that's just a fact. And that's just the way God planned it. You see, the Babylonians had taken great wealth from the people that they had deceived. And this is the thing. They had taken far more than they needed and left the people without anything. They had thought so lightly, so highly of themselves, they had tried to lift themselves up as high as the sky by all the wealth they had obtained at others' expense. Babylonian was working and operating in fears, and it seemed like it was impossible to stop them. But in God's appointed time, he will bring judgment on the Babylonians. Just keep reading your word. The cruelty and the bloodshed the Babylonians had brought on others would bring the very same treatment upon them. And you got to remember this. Yes, God did orchestrate the Babylonians to take Judah into captivity. But they had gone much further than God intended them to. When they attacked Judah and Jerusalem, God's judgment on the Babylonians would be severe for this reason. If we look at rule number 3 in verses 12 through 14, woe to him that buildeth a town with blood, establish a city by iniquities. Behold, it is not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for very vanity. 14, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the water covered the sea. The Babylonians had made a horrible name for themselves and the way they fought battles. People both feared and hated them. They had gone so far with their cruelty that they have sinned in their own soul. There's a scripture in Jeremiah 51 and 58. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly broken, and her high gate shall be burned with fire, and the people shall labor in vain, and the folk in the fire, and they shall be weary. God has an appointed time to take care of them. You see, they had built a magnificent city with the slave labor. The people building was magnificent. Palace labored as in the fire. It was beautiful, magnificent. And it wasn't done with labor of love, but forced labor. All of their labor is in vain because Babylonian and its finitries are destroyed. And when God takes care of them, they will never be rebuilt again. We look at another woe, y'all, 15 through 18. It say, woe to him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him and making him drunken also. And thou may look on their nakedness. Thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. Come on, y'all know what a foreskin is talking about, nakedness. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful shrewing shall be on thy glory. For the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, and the sparrows of the beasts, which made them afraid, because of man's blood, and for violence in the land of the city, and all that dwell therein. And then they talk, God's telling this, what profit the grave image that the maker thereof have graven it, and molten image, and a teacher of lies that the maker of his work trusted therein to make dumb idols. God say, besides doing all of this and having committed these sins in their bodies and against their souls, they have the cheeks to take what belonged to me, Lebanon. You know, they was fine trees in Lebanon, and they used a lot of the trees to make the idol gods, and they did it with stone and things like that. He said, y'all, those graven images can't speak. He said, okay, you got all of these idol gods, and when I come, see what they're going to be able to do against me. That's what he's telling them. You got the finest trees out of Lebanon, and you molt them, and you're graving them. He said, but wait till I come. And then there's another woe in 19. He said, woe unto them that say it to the wood, awake to the dumb stone. You know, they be talking to their a stone. Ha ha! Arise, it shall teach. He said, I don't think so. They can't even talk. They can't think. They have no power. Behold, it is laid over. He said, you even took and put silver and gold on it. He said, but yet there's no breath at all in the midst of it. Your graven images, your idol gods, the dumb piece of stone, wood, of stubble. You see, the Babylonians had destroyed the forest in Babylon. They had destroyed the temple in Jerusalem and Judah as well. They were a threat to man and beast. They destroyed the beast along with the people who got in their way. They killed with a sword, burned, and took captive. They were a violent people. We know idolatry, idols have no life, no personhood, no power. They are empty chunk of wood or stone. Then they built the temples to the idols. Idols are silent because they can't talk or speak. But the Lord is in his temple. He is real, alive, and powerful. He is truly and fully God. Those who worship the living God come to him in silent awe, great respect and reverence. We have to keep that in mind. You know, Habakkuk was given a word from God for the people, but God set him on the top, set him on the wall where he could look down and see everything that was happening. And it just saddened him. And the prophets were sad even before the judgment of God using the Babylonians came, because many prophets were weeping because the children of Judah and Jerusalem were so sinful and doing such evilness. And Habakkuk acknowledged that Judah wasn't doing right. But you're using somebody that's worse than them to punish them. God said, I would tell you, Habakkuk. But if I did, you wouldn't even comprehend it. We have to realize that everything is not for us to understand. And that's why the word of God said we will understand by and by. And if we keep reading and we get to the third chapter, God keeps speaking to Habakkuk. Well, Habakkuk prays to God, and he's giving God his props. You know, in the end, Habakkuk has to say, God, your will, not our will. And he got to continue to walk in faith and not by sight, because that's how he's strengthened. And that's the same thing for us. We don't like everything that's going on. Don't like the way the world is acting, the nations, and even our nation, United States. And a majority of our leaders are just horrible. But God got this in control. The question is often asked, how long? It doesn't matter how long. Because if we walk by faith, faith allows us to operate in the midst of the storms. Because we're not relying on what we can do, but what God can do. We rely on the word of God. And we allow the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us and what Jesus has done for us that gives us hope. And we got to keep it moving, y'all. God's got this under control. Nothing that is happening in this world today is taking God by surprise. And everything that God did, doing, and going to do, God never makes a mistake. So I encourage each and every one of us to hold on to the confession of our faith and realize by faith, that's how we make it in the midst of a storm, and keep holding on to God's unchanging hand. And even though all of this is going on around us, so many young people got killed on this week. Come on, y'all. 3 young people went to jail, one for 25 years and one for life, for consequences of their actions. It's a sad day, not only for the lady that died in the carjacking, but the family that miss her and the family of that young man that's got life in prison, and he's only 18 years old. And those young girls that got 25 years, 3 of them. And the beat's going to go on. And people that God expressed to us in the Bible that there will be days like this, because people will be lovers of themselves. They're going to be leaning to their own understanding, doing whatever they think is right. And the world going to keep going. And I come to tell you tonight, it's going to get worse before it gets better. But God don't always take us or saves us from the storm. But I guarantee he will carry you through the storm. So walk by faith and not by sight. And you would always see the salvation of the Lord working in and through you in your life as he arranged and rearranged the matters of our lives. Because he cares for us. And that's our lesson today. Any comments, questions, or concerns, you could say them at this time. Press the 1 button on your phone. And I want to tell the people, countries that is listening to the program, I can see that callers from Shishela, which is an island somewhere in Africa. We have some listeners in Kenya and India and places like that. I thank God for each and every one of you that may be listening. And I pray that the lessons as they go forth, as the Holy Ghost lead and guide me and use me, his vessel, that you will be enlightened to the word of God. And I want to thank each and every one of you as well. And all of the callers, even in the United States, that calls in at Blog Talk Radio on the internet. I thank God for each one of you. Thank you. Any comments, questions, or concerns? We could have our benediction.
Benediction tonight is coming from 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen, my sister. And that's our lesson for tonight. This is our last lesson in November 2023. Next Wednesday, if God allows the same, we will enter the month of December, which is the last month of the year. And time is moving with swift transgressions. I know what that meant some time ago, but I got it now. time is moving. And we'll be in December 2023. And we have so many days before the year 2023 is gone, never to be seen again. And we have to embrace 2024.
Oh, yeah.
So I thank you.
Thank you, Minister Diane.
Anything else? Anyone else? Glory be to God. That's it for tonight. If it's God's will and your desire, we'll meet back again next Wednesday. But until then, I pray that God blesses each and every one of us, whatever blessing we are needing, and that he blesses us real good, and that each one of us continue to live by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
Good night.
Good night.